ఆనరబుల్ రెక్టర్ శ్రీ ఏ నారాయణ గారు అండ్ చైర్మన్ ఆంధ్ర యూనివర్సిటీ రీసెర్చ్ ఫోరం, ప్రిన్సిపల్ డాక్టర్ బిఆర్ అంబేద్కర్ కాలేజ్ ఆఫ్ లా ప్రొఫెసర్ ఏ సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం గారు, ఫార్మర్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ప్రొఫెసర్ కేశవరావు గారు అండ్ ఆల్ మై కొలీగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లా కాలేజ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ఫ్రమ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ద లా కాలేజ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద క్యాంపస్ అండ్ ఆల్ ద స్టూడెంట్ ఫ్రెండ్స్. Friends, indeed, it's a matter of privilege for me to be here and share a few of my thoughts and some of my knowledge about this topic. And friends, you will all understand that sexual harassment is a problem which appears to be contemporary. Perhaps in the olden times, women never went out either to work or to study. And as women started going out, this problem, this is more like a side effect of a social phenomenon. And hence, this problem also indicates an initiative on the part of the judiciary which has tried to spark off a change in the society and also an initiative on the part of the legislature. And friends, just take a look at these two or three pictures, and I thought I would be able to show you more. But anyway, all these things, they depict typically a work environment, but in which you find a woman being in a very uncomfortable position. And we'll understand that the objective behind focusing on this concept of sexual harassment of women at workplace is to create a safe work environment for all women. Because, when we talk about gender equality and equal opportunities and equal participation of women in all the political, social, legal and economic phenomena of the society, so necessarily they'll have to work or participate, and then the environment must be congenial for them. And then notwithstanding the equality or equal opportunities provisions in the constitution or in the law elsewhere, the social barriers and then a few social problems like lack of security or lack of safe environment, and these are the things which still discourage women from taking up a career or a job. And besides lack of security, you will find jealousies rooted in patriarchy are also partly responsible for this process. And why do we talk about sexual harassment? Because it has a lot of impact on the women, like decreased work or school performance. So your performance is adversely affected, and then increased absenteeism. It creates a constant pressure on the woman's mind when she is uncomfortable in the workplace. So when you are uncomfortable, you would like to avoid that place or work, and then having to take more time off work, and then retaliation from the harasser. And many cases have shown that whenever a complaint of sexual harassment was made by a woman, typically, there was a systematic victimization of the very victim herself on the part of the management. And then, once a complaint is made, it becomes a matter of public debate. She's like this, she's like that. So her entire life becomes a matter of public debate. And then the victim becomes the accused, typically. And their dress, lifestyle and private life will often come under attack. And then being objectified and humiliated, and focus of gossip, becoming publicly sexualized, and the woman complaining of sexual harassment, she would feel that every time there is a discussion on her complaint, she is once more victimized. And then defamation of character and reputation, loss of trust in her own colleagues, and then stress, a lot of stress, and sometimes this also would have a negative impact on her family relations. And then if such is the menace of sexual harassment, what is it that we understand by that? So it's difficult to define or give a single definition of sexual harassment. But even prior to 1980s, in 1980s where the first case of sexual harassment came up in India, but even prior to that at the international level there have been several attempts to define what is sexual harassment. And this sexual harassment is also linked to human rights of women. And the Convention on the Elimination of All Discrimination Against Women, this has sought to give a definition of sexual harassment. And sexual harassment is such unwelcome sexually determined behavior as physical advances or sexually colored remarks or sexual demands. And what is again to be noted is that these sexual demands for sexual favors or sexually colored remarks, they have a link to the employment opportunities or career prospects of the woman. And either you accept to these sexual demands and then get a hike in your salary or get a promotion or face the threat of being dismissed or some kind of discriminatory or adverse treatment by the management, like you are inefficient, etc. And then the International Labour Organization has said, okay, this also has attempted to define or rather describe what is sexual harassment, and then the conduct creates an intimidating, hostile or humiliating working environment for the recipient, and this is also important. And then from the United States, an Equal Employment Opportunities Commission, they also evolved a definition of what is sexual harassment, like unwelcome sexual advances. And this you find is a common phenomenon in all the things. And submission to or rejection of such conduct by an individual is used as a basis for employment decisions. So it is linked to your career opportunities. And such conduct has a purpose or effect of unreasonably interfering with an individual's work performance, and it creates an intimidating atmosphere for her. And then, we may not agree on a single definition, but still we understand that this is something related to sexual conduct, and then which is unwelcome, not returned, and not mutual, which is not accepted, and something which is forced upon the woman. And the conduct affects the terms. And not only that, the sexual harassment is also very intricately linked to a sort of power relations between men and women. So it's more like exercise of aggressive power of men vis-a-vis the woman. And this is and it takes place in societies which often treat women as sex objects. And typically even in the workplace also, you refuse to treat her or recognize your female colleague as an equal participant in the process, but rather look at her as a sex object. And then this is also explosive combining of unacceptable sexual behavior and the abuse of power. And then friends, we all understand that sexual harassment at workplace, it typically affects, it will have a negative impact on things like right to equality, and it depicts the unequal power relation between and unequal status of men and women in the society. And it violates the dignity of the woman, the right of a woman to work with dignity and livelihood rights and choices. And quite often women who are victims of sexual harassment, when they complain, they are either asked to resign and go forcibly. They would be forced to resign and go, or would be met with some adverse consequences. And when there is no choice but to leave the work, it affects livelihood. And also the choices that you have, you cannot get education from the same institution, etc. And then it also affects your right to personal liberty. And now we come to the legal perspectives in India, specific to India. So what kind of law do we have? It's very recently that it is only on 14th December 2013, the Protection of Women from Sexual Harassment at Workplace Act has come into force. But prior to that, what was the legal position? So friends, the Indian Penal Code, it does have a few provisions which could be applied. Section 354, it deals with outraging the modesty of a woman. And then section 509, which almost is like eve teasing, which prohibits eve teasing. So making or conduct which is likely to outrage the modesty of a woman. And now the Nirbhaya Act, the Criminal Law Amendment Act of 2013, which is also called the Nirbhaya Act, it defines more vividly what is enlarges the meaning of outraging the modesty of a woman, and then making unwelcome remarks on a woman which are quite embarrassing. And then things like offenses like defamation, character assassination, and character assassination is one big problem for many working women and women who have access to power. And friends, the last thing, Rupan Deol Bajaj, this case, it typically depicts a situation wherein a senior IAS officer was facing this problem, and she fought this problem for 18 years. And the judgment came in 1988. So 18 years prior to this judgment, she reported that one senior IPS officer, Mr. K.P. Gill, had misbehaved with her in a party, at which top bureaucrats were the guests. And in the middle of all her colleagues, when this man misbehaved with her, there was no legislation governing such position, and she was not even sure under which law she could prosecute him. She gave an interview in the newspapers after the judgment came out, and she was saying, I was in a dilemma whether to complain or not to complain. But then I thought, why should I sit crying in private for the humiliation that I faced? Because I'm the victim and I'm not at fault, I decided that I would fight back. And when she made a complaint under sections 354 and 509 of IPC, and she said, the entire bureaucratic force, they threw their weight behind Mr. Gill and tried to save him. And while the case was pending before the courts at different levels, he was conferred Padma Shri Award, and then she was dissuaded several times from prosecuting the case. And she said, I even faced threats to my life. But then I thought, if I had not complained, people would think that I was a consenting party to his misbehavior, which I never liked to be identified as. And then if I did not complain, this kind of a behavior on the part of erratic men would be taken for granted. And hence, I decided that I would fight. And this is what she said in her interview. And 18 years later, the judgment came, and the Supreme Court said it was very unfortunate that two senior officers have such a dispute. But ultimately, she won the case. She won the case, and the court asked Gill to pay her 2 lakhs of rupees as compensation. And then one remarkable incident in this process is in 1997, when a village Anganwadi worker or so, by name Bhanwari Devi from Rajasthan, she had news that a child marriage was going to be performed. And she went there to stop that. as part of her duty, as part of her duty. And the marriage could be stopped, but the outcome was that she was gang raped by the landlords in the area for doing this. And she complained. She faced threats to her life and her entire family. But she stood up, and one NGO by name Vishaka, they filed a writ petition in the Supreme Court in this backdrop, asking the Supreme Court to at least give certain guidelines to, I mean, how to protect women from sexual harassment at workplace. I mean, why sexual harassment specifically? Because in most of the societies, women's sexuality is taken as a matter of pride to the entire community. So in the olden days also, you know, if you want to win over a community, even one strategy would be to rape the women of that community so that they would be insulting the entire community. And that sort of a patriarchal attitude was behind this. And in this case, the Supreme Court, it did take very seriously this incident and said, I mean, it is a duty of every employer to create a safe working environment for all the women employees. And then they defined for the first time, the Supreme Court, first time it laid down certain guidelines also as to how to handle the problem of sexual harassment. And then they gave a definition of sexual harassment, which is now incorporated into the new legislation. And till very recently, Vishakha case is the law to deal with all the cases of sexual harassment at workplace. And they said it is unwelcome sexually determined behavior, such as physical contact and advances, a demand for sexual favors, and sexually colored remarks, and showing pornography, and any other unwelcome physical, verbal, or non-verbal conduct of a sexual nature. And then most of the acts that are complained of, I mean, they can be interpreted in several ways, but it is said a woman would be able to make out with what intention a particular word is uttered or a particular gesture is made. And gestures are words or acts that make women uncomfortable. And these are the things which need to be consciously avoided at workplace. And then the Supreme Court emphasized on the responsibility of the employer to take preventive and remedial measures, and then to provide for institutional mechanisms, constitution of committees for avoiding sexual harassment at workplace, and protecting women from sexual harassment, not only from the people who are working in the organization, but also people coming from outside, or the customers rather, who the outsiders who come to the workplace for, on some business or the other. And then the guidelines, the court said, they are enforceable as law till some legislation is enacted. And then this is pertinent to note, and gender equality includes protection from sexual harassment and the right to work with dignity, which is a universally recognized basic human right. And linking up sexual harassment to human rights, and this has which started from the Vishakha case, it has started. And in 1999 there was another case reported, Apparel Export Promotion Council versus Chevan, or no, Eka Chopra. So in this case, the accused was, the complaint was that he tried to molest a woman in the office, and he argued that it was only an attempt, nothing had happened. He was dismissed from his job, and then he challenged, saying that in fact, I mean, nothing had happened and it was only an attempt, and how could you victimize me? But the court said, even an attempt to commit rape in the office space or in the workplace, it would be an offense and would be a gross violation of the human rights of the woman. And here also, okay, sexual harassment is a form of sex discrimination projected through unwelcome sexual advances, etc., etc., and directly or indirectly it affects the employment of the female employee or interferes with her work performance. And in 2006, the National Commission for Women, it has come out with a draft bill on the prevention of women from sexual harassment at workplace. And in fact, they also had prepared a code of conduct for all employees, and which they intended that should be incorporated into the service rules also. And these are all instances of sexual harassment. And after that, we'll find, time may not permit us to go into the details of several cases. Several cases have been reported, but only a few of them. In 1999, again, the Saudi Arabian Airlines case, a woman employee, she was asked to do sexual favors, and he was insisting that she should go for a dinner with him and then visit his room at midnight and then discuss in order to discuss her promotion at midnight in his hotel room. But she complained, and then another employee of the Seagull bookstores, she had a similar experience and she also complained. But why these cases are mentioned is, what could be found in most of the cases is there was a systematic victimization of these women who complained. But nevertheless, they fought back. They stood up on their complaint and fought back. And ultimately, they got justice. Justice was done to them. And in 2012, the Supreme Court had another opportunity in Medha Kotwal case or so. Then they said, in every organization, the Supreme Court already said that there should be a complaints committee to deal with complaints of sexual harassment. And the findings or reports of the complaints committee, they must be treated as findings for the purpose of taking discipline, for the purpose of disciplinary inquiries. And then the Supreme Court also decided that the service rules be amended in order to include a prohibition of sexual harassment at workplace. And a few of the service or conduct rules have been amended, including this, they contain a prohibition of sexual harassment at workplace. And specifically coming to the recent legislation, that is the Sexual Harassment of Women at Workplace Prevention, Prohibition and Redressal Act 2013. And finally, it had seen the light of the day. And section 3, it says, it contains the essence of the legislation. No woman shall be subjected to sexual harassment at any workplace, and this is the basic and fundamental right of every woman to work in such a congenial environment. And then it has three keywords: sexual harassment, workplace and women. Protection of women from sexual harassment at workplace. Then, who is this woman we are talking about? The women that the Act seeks to protect, they are all female employees. All female employees, whether they are permanent employees, government or private, or working in any private organization, or with whatever name you may call, apprentice or trainee. So they also, all of them who work in a particular area. And then they can be regular, temporary, ad hoc, contract, recruited on contract basis, or daily wage basis, directly or through an agent, for remuneration or not. Even those who are working on a voluntary basis or without any remuneration, so they are also included in the definition of these women. And it also includes, one thing remarkable about this legislation is it also protects the unorganized workers like agricultural laborers or construction workers or domestic workers. And very recently there was an incident after the Nirbhaya incident from Faizabad or so, from around Delhi, there was a case in which a domestic help, she was gang raped by two or three sons of her employer while they were taking her around Delhi in a car. And such women who are working in the houses, in others' houses, when others' house is their workplace, that would be their workplace, and the agricultural field would be agricultural, the workplace for an agricultural laborer, and construction site would be the workplace for a construction worker. So all categories of women, it seeks to include all categories of women, even women workers in the private organizations. And what do we understand by sexual harassment? And friends, in Vishakha case, whatever we have seen, and I mean, this is only inclusive. It doesn't say this alone amounts to sexual harassment. This is an inclusive definition. So it's by way of illustration. So all those unwelcome sexually determined behavior, such as physical contact and advances or a demand for sexual favors, sexually colored remarks, etc. And then it also says circumstances like implied or explicit promise of preferential treatment in employment. Like if you accept this, you will have a preferential treatment, or you will have a detrimental treatment at your workplace, or linking up career prospects to sexual favors, accepting and creating a situation where a woman would be forced to accept the proposals for sexual favors, or anything which is offensive or creates a hostile work environment or humiliating treatment likely to affect the health or safety when present in relation to any act, etc., they would also be taken seriously. They would also be treated as sexual harassment. Then one major problem is with character assassination. And character assassination is not specifically explicitly mentioned in the act, but consensus is that character assassination also amounts to sexual harassment. And then the obligation to prevent or redress sexual harassment at workplace is cast on the government. I mean, all employers, the obligation is on all the employers, both government as well as private, both state, central and private organizations. And what do we understand by workplace? So within the office premises, it is clear. But we heard of cases like wherein a software engineer was raped and killed by a cab driver, and this cab was provided to her by the employer. So the company provided her with a transport cab, and which would pick her up from home and then again drop her back in the house. But en route, while she was going home one day, on the way she was raped and killed. Her dead body was found later. So, this is not exactly her workplace, but this is something related to workplace. And hence, this new legislation gives an extensive definition of workplace. And it includes any office, government office or private sector organization, private venture undertaking, enterprise, or any institution, establishment, society, call it with any name, and any place where you work. And then it also includes all professional, vocational, educational institutions. And for students, for female students, work need not be something remunerative. Work need not be employment. But education institution is a workplace for a female student, for a female student. And then entertainment business, it could be the film industry. They could be working outside and on different sites they could be working. Maybe the organization could be dealing with production, sales, services, any kind of organization, hospitals or nursing homes, sports related institutions and facilities, because it is in sports, the abuse of females is reported quite a bit in the recent times. Places which the female employee would be visiting in connection with her work. And a saleswoman, for example, could be moving to different places. and then transportation provided by the employer for undertaking such a journey, or a house or dwelling place in connection with the work. And then, so against whom can a complaint be made? Who can be the respondent? And the person against whom a complaint of sexual harassment is made is called the respondent. And who can be the respondent? And clearly, any man who resorts to such abusive acts. And then, can a woman who resorts to character assassination of another female employee be a respondent? Yes, it appears that is also possible. That's also possible. And then this legislation, it provides for redressal mechanisms, the institutional setup. So it says that every organization having a minimum of 10 employees or more, it must constitute an internal complaints committee. And this committee, it should be headed by a female senior woman member, a woman member at senior level, and others, I mean, one member preferably having knowledge of law or sociology or having some knowledge in the field, and one member from an NGO. And then the local, in case of organizations having less than 10 employees, for all the organizations together, the district officer, like the district collector or anybody, may have to constitute a local complaints committee, and where all the complaints would go. And the district officer, this legislation also provides for appointment of nodal officers at different levels to receive complaints of sexual harassment. And then this is time frame within which once a complaint is made, I think this should have been given at the end. But anyway, a complaint of sexual harassment will have to be made within 3 months of the incident. Or if it is a series of incidents, if there is a series of incidents within 3 months after the last such incident. And then there is also a rule that the inquiry by the complaints committee must be completed within 90 days, and after completing the inquiry, within 10 days the report must be submitted. And then the complaint will have to be made personally by the aggrieved woman. But for any reason she is not in a position to make a complaint herself, owing to any physical or mental disability or so, anybody on her behalf, a relative or a friend, or in case of mentally not well women, a psychiatrist or a trainer or some guardian, they may lodge a complaint. And the procedure, and once a complaint is made, either to the internal complaints committee or to the local complaints committee. I mean, the committee has extensive powers. Like, the committee may call both the parties. I mean, initially after receiving the complaint, it may resort to conciliation proceedings. I mean, do some sort of a counseling between both the parties and try to arrive at some settlement. And once a terms of settlement are accepted, no further inquiry or action is necessary, and the report will be made in that way. But no financial settlement can be made. No financial settlement can be made through conciliation. But if the terms of the settlement are not, if they are not accepted by the, or if they are not complied with by the respondent, then once again the committee would take up an inquiry. If the conciliation proceedings fail, if a settlement is reached, fine, that would be the end of the matter. But if no settlement is reached through conciliation, or the conciliation award is not respected by the respondent, then there would be a regular inquiry into the matter. And in the process, the complaints committee would have the powers of a civil court, either to summon any person or production of any document or any person. They will take evidence, and then ultimately, and A very important provision here is that in certain cases, if the complaints committee finds that there is a prima facie case, then the committee shall forward the case. That is, the committee must forward the case to the local police within a period of 7 days, either to take action under section 509 or any other appropriate provision of the IPC. And then during the entire process, the respondent would have a right to be heard. And then if the respondent is convicted under section 509, then the court may also direct him to pay some compensation to the woman, to the aggrieved woman. And then, okay, these are the powers. And pending the inquiry, if the woman fears that she faces retaliation or any revenge from the harasser, she might in writing request the committee either that she should be transferred or the harasser be transferred to some other place, or she may even request for grant of leave for 3 months or so, and or for any other suitable relief. And the complaints committee, they may make a recommendation, and this recommendation must be enforced by the employer. And then, okay, the what action would be taken by the complaints committee? So after the inquiry, the report, they would submit the report either to the employer or to the district officer, as the case may be. And if the case is not proved, if the case against the respondent is not proved, that would be the end of the matter. But if the case is proved, then the committee, the complaints committee, may recommend what action to be taken for sexual harassment. They may recommend action to be taken as a misconduct in accordance with the provisions of the service rules, or in any other manner, or the deduction of any amount from the salary of the respondent and payment of the same to the aggrieved woman, etc. And these recommendations must be complied with or enforced by the employer within 60 days. Within 2 months, they must be implemented. And if a malicious complaint is made or knowingly false complaint is made, if a complaint is made with either malicious intention or knowing it to be false, then action may be taken. So that also is not encouraged under the Act. But anyway, mere inability to prove a case, it will not be taken as malicious prosecution. And action may be taken against the witnesses also if they knowingly and wantonly or deliberately give false evidence or file any forged documents, etc. And all the details of the aggrieved woman, the respondent, and the reports of the complaints committee and the conciliation proceedings, all are protected. And the Right to Information Act does not apply. I mean, all these details must be kept confidential. Then any person aggrieved by the complaints committee, the report, they may approach either a court or a tribunal. And then finally, the act speaks about the duties of the employer. And every employer has a duty to provide a safe working environment and also to display penal consequences of sexual harassment, and creating among employees awareness about the Act through workshops or etc., and provide necessary facilities to the committee, facilitate its working, functioning, and then provide assistance to the aggrieved woman, and treat sexual harassment as a misconduct under the service rules and initiate action for the same. And the government is obliged to monitor the implementation of the legislation, and the failure to constitute the complaints committee, internal complaints committee or local complaints committee, it may attract a penalty like a fine or non-renewal of the license for undertaking the business, etc., etc. And friends, under this legislation, even before this legislation, came under the Vishakha guidelines in Andhra University. In Andhra University, a woman's cell was created in 1999, and the same is now reorganized as the Women Grievance and Redressal Cell, of which I happen to be the convener. So, I mean, this committee, it works for the prevention, if possible, prevention of sexual harassment, or at least it receives complaints. I mean, any complaint of sexual harassment by any woman employee may be forwarded to the committee, and we will be shortly sending you all the phone numbers and other details, and for the timing, and you all know me. I just thought I would use this platform also to create awareness about the mechanisms that we have in Andhra University. So friends, thank you very much. I first thank the research forum and the chairperson of the research forum, convener, Professor Rajini, for giving me this opportunity, and all of you for patiently bearing with me. Thank you.